Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day. Half price vitamin and cosmetic sale on now. The Big Breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Welcome to the catch up. Very kind of you to join us. Before we get to that, you revealed today, Rob Bailey, that you are off to the Proclaimers this week.
I know. I'm very excited about it. It was actually a wedding present from my cousin.
But when we asked you go to the Proclaimers, you went, Gotcha.
That's funny.
They haven't got very many words. Like, what have they got up their sleeve?
500 miles.
I would walk
500 miles.
Will you sing along? What's it? What else have they got?
The sequel, I'm on my way.
I'm on my way to misery, to happiness.
They're always going somewhere. Just chill out. Be in the moment, Proclaimers.
Have they only got the one beat?
Be here now.
Have they only got the one beat, don't they?
I don't know. I'll tell you Monday. I will bring some recording to see whether these Scottish twins still have it.
Right. Wow. Old Proclaimers played off a mobile phone.
Yeah.
Finally. Music's hit its peak.
I'm rocking it, baby.
Nick, get used to it. She goes to so many concerts. She sits approximately 2.3 kilometres away from the stage and goes, it was the best, Marto. Oh, it was so good. I'll give us a listen. What?
What is that? Sometimes I honestly think she's just captured the audio in an empty jam jar and brought it in and opened
releases it
up.
Back to whence you came sound.
Looking forward to Monday.
Rusty Crow called through today.
The only way, the Rabbitoh way, pull out your own teeth and live in a car.
There'd be somebody who doesn't get that.
It's, you know, they're inner city, grimy inner city Sydney. So,
well, it's well-to-do now, Redfern, actually.
Yeah.
Gentrified, if you will.
Mm.
It's a big word. Kevin Walters called through as well, Maroons coach.
Gee, he's patient with you.
I'm pretty sure he didn't want to, but he did.
We're old mates. It's okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, after today, I think you were mates.
No coach likes being called for being sacked before the game starts. No.
You're a big fan of that. That's what I have learned about you, Marto.
No, normally I let one game happen and then I call for sackings. There hasn't even been a game in the series.
You're out.
I didn't call for Seibold sacking till after there was one game. Let's be true. Hey?
Correct. Oh, yeah.
Can I just confirm that?
You did give him one game of the 26-round season.
Is it a five-year contract?
It is, correct.
You know the latest one? I think the Broncos will come romping home into the finals.
That's
get on it.
Wrong. That's not happening.
It's so wrong.
Yeah.
It's only because he's gone too hard. Let's have a look at this date
and remember that. I'll mark this in my diary.
See,
well, maybe we'll learn about it more.
You got a diary?
Yeah.
No? Have you actually got a diary you write in?
No.
Anyone?
No one does.
No.
I do.
Yeah.
So, therefore, I will turn this page to Thursday, May 16th, and go the day.
Well, we might learn tomorrow because tomorrow's Friday and that tends to be Robin's rugby league wrap-up.
Yes.
Do you keep a journal? You have a diary, but do you have a journal?
No, well, that's the same thing. I just write.
Do you write your thoughts?
Yeah. Oh, not thoughts.
Do you journal?
No.
Today I built a gazebo.
Yeah, I know. It's great. Say, Bunnings again.
All right. Stop reading my diary.
Yeah, we've been reading it. Hey, we had a guy on called Nigel today. I wouldn't usually talk to a Nigel because it's a terrible name, but this man reckons he's changed the game of AFL and he hasn't been credited for
it. Do you reckon what they've done, the
666,
it'll help the game, hasn't it?
Yeah. They also let the people, you can just, after a point has been kicked, you don't have to wait for the goal umpire to wave the one flag. Just get it moving.
Get into it.
Because sometimes they're a bit slow.
He's the bloke who thought of it. No one's acknowledging it.
Well,
should have got paid for that. Yeah.
Why did they get rid of the white coats and the white hats in the AFL? Do you know
Nick?
Good
question. I don't know when you had to dress like a pharmacist.
Mm. When they became smoke-free stadiums, they didn't need to put their durries in there anymore. So they said, well, we don't need our jackets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think for retro round this year that the umpire should get in on retro round?
Go back. Woolen jumpers.
Yes, indeed.
Retro round.
Benson and Hedges.
Stink.
When did the boundary umpires in AFL start running backwards?
They love a bit of that.
How fast are they? No one runs faster backwards.
You know, on AFL Grand Final day when they have the AFL sprint with the players, they need to do a backwards race.
Oh, my God. Yes. Backwards umpire sprint.
That's incredible. Yeah. Everyone's fallen.
Hey, listen, just to give everyone a little thumb heads up, you can do it now if you want to, on YouTube, check out Blindfold Sprint Race. Oh, my God. These really fast guys. There's three of them hit posts. There's just, it's mayhem.
I've got a feeling. really. Marto's watched the Paralympics again. And
stop it.
He's got the event all wrong.
Okay, oh, no, so no, that no, is no, like no. a red.
Yeah. What colour is that? You're going to have to tell me.
You're off the show.
Hard on. You're supposed to turn his mic off. And then he just come over here and yell louder.
There we go. See you, Nick.
Oh, no, no, yell it off. Out. Oh, say, see ya. Yeah, he's gone.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
State of Origin launched yesterday down
yes,
in Sydney. Oh, my
I
God.
Saw it.
Brad Fittler is absolutely pooping his deck. He does not have. Remember last year they had a super right hand side defence? They had Dravojevic, they had Frizzell. Frizzell will still be there. They had Nathan Cleary and they had James Roberts. Mm-hmm. Three out of the four of them will not be there. He has no idea how he's going to contain because he'll have Kalyn Ponga running at him and Munster coming down our left side. And he is absolutely. Have a listen because he knows all we need is an organiser and a goal kicker and a leader and playmaker, Cameron Smith, and Brad Fittler knows it.
If he was to come back, it'd make it incredibly interesting and one heck of a series.
Sounds scared.
Mm-hmm. He does sound scared. He has had enough.
No,
he's
really
given up
hasn't.
Already.
Okay, we of course are talking about our campaign to bring Cam Smith
20
back.
Days and 12 and a half hours to go until that first origin.
And Marto is like a dog with a bone and he will not let this go because, come on, you have to acknowledge we've already had these conversations with Kevy and he has said absolutely not.
It's over as far as I'm concerned and Cameron was a great player for Queensland, all 42 games that he had.
No, we haven't had the conversation with Kevy. That was him last night for the general public. Mm-hmm. And you know what a prankster he is.
Okay, well, let's ask him right now. Kevy Walters, you most patient man. Hello.
Oh, how are you guys this morning? Mm. You all well? Yeah, Marto, you've got to let it go, mate. Let it go.
Oh, no.
Mate, I know what you're up to, Kevy, and I love it.
Watching Frozen. Well, it sounds like
now, there's a lot in a lot of movies. But, no, look, yeah, Cameron has declared, you know, that he won't be playing in Origin. We've got to move on, and we have moved on. It's very exciting for me, Marto. Who's going to be the next Queensland number nine? I mean, when Cameron Smith first came into the Origin Arena, that was in 2002. He lost his first two series, Cameron. People got to remember that. And all of a sudden, they got this magnificent side together and away they march. So, you know, I can see that happening again for the Maroons and we just got to get this next young Queensland team up and going and
It's so important. Kevy, you've played, you've coached, you've been assistant coach for so long at Origin level. It is so important to win that first game, especially considering it's at home. We get the drop on them before we go to Perth. Just one game. Well, can I just plead with you? You're a smart man.
Oh, someone's been lying to you already, Marto.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Alfie.
Remember your old mentor? I know he sacked you once, but Wayne Bennett had this to say.
Maybe Cam can do it. Yeah, let's get on the Cam wagon.
Yeah! Are you going to ignore the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison?
Origin, I think, is so fantastic. It's the big contest, and you want to see the biggest names in the game out there on the field, and that includes Cam.
Wow. The number one coach in rugby league, Craig Bellamy.
If Cameron wanted to play Origin again, yeah, you know, he'd do so with our blessing, or with my blessing anyway. I imagine the club would feel the same.
And your best mate and class clown, Alfie.
Cameron Smith, the player he is back in the Queensland side, would be amazing.
Mm. Oh.
So, Kevy, what do you got to say about that?
Well, you've got some really big names in the game there, that's but right. You haven't got the one voice that matters, and that's Cameron Smith's voice.
Oh, interesting.
I thought you were going to say Barb.
Well, yeah, there's probably a mix there as well, so that's all good.
So can I just be very clear, Kevy, since all of this has happened, since Marto has jumped on this bandwagon and pushed and pushed and pushed.
Don't blame me. We want to win as Queenslanders.
Have you spoken to Cam and are you categorically saying he still does not want to play for Queensland?
Yes, Rob. I caught up with Cameron over the Magic weekend. All the players were in town, so I caught up with a lot of our players and actually had every intention of shouting in breakfast down at my favourite cafe. But when he said no, I made him pay. So there you go. He's out. Oh.
Righto. So you and Darren, you're going to have your little meeting with Geno Miles. Ben Hunt?
And the great Billy Slater. Don't forget the great Billy Slater.
Oh, he's selected too. But you can't put Ben Hunt in there, mate. They'll just have every kickoff going to him.
Well, there will be a lot of kickoffs. We plan on them kicking off.
Okay,
a lot,
so you can drop a few. Well, you can afford to drop a few.
No, we can strategically place him somewhere, not where that ball's going to go.
Wow.
Kevy, I know what you're up to, mate. I know how clever you are. You just watch.
Marto,
I know this has gotten some legs over the last 20 years because everywhere I go, they're into me about Marto. Have you signed a petition for Marto? Mm.
Thank you, Kevy.
Oh, my God, Marto, you've just created this massive tidal wave, but it's just about to be done. Mate, it's done.
Well,
I'll tell you who's done. Oh, if we lose that first game because we're not good enough around the dummy half or goal kicking, you're done, mate. I'm calling for your sacking.
No, keep the faith, brother. We are going to win game one.
I know I love you, but you've got to pick him. All right.
No, don't. Okay, Kevy, he's a really slow learner, is our Marto.
Tomorrow I'm going to Cam Smith. I'll give up on this. This is enough. I can't get any sense out of this man.
He's been very patient and very kind.
Believe he explained it quite clearly, Cam said. No.
And all we can do is really apologise to you, Kevin Walters. We're so sorry.
No, and probably ring Barb before you ring Cameron, I'd suggest that.
She hasn't been taking my calls, but I tell you what, mate, I'll give you a ticket. You can come up and sit with me in the grandstand as we watch Cameron Smith the second time there's been a captain coach at Origin level.
He's got his own box. He's the coach.
He's not the coach anymore. Cameron Smith, captain coach.
Love speaking to you guys this morning. You've been really positive.
See you, mate.
I'm sorry, Kevy.
Triple M. Thanks, Kevy. We love you, brother.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Oh, there's the South music. The owner of the Rabbitohs and...
Did he ever win an Academy Award?
Yes. Oh,
Academy Award winner, Russell Crowe.
Yeah, that's a funny joke, Marto. Good idea. Did I ever win an Academy Award? Does this sound familiar? My name is Maximus Desmond, Commander of the Armies of the North, General of Felix Legions. Royal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to him. Yeah.
Charred misses and kids, we know.
How about I come up there, Marto, and ring your bells, pal? Hello. Good morning to you, Robin Bailey, and to you, young Nick Cody.
G'day, sir.
Yeah, ginger on the rise. I like it.
Well, it has been a while since we've spoken to you. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been in Hollywood playing Roger Ailes, the head of Fox News, and other characters that are also quite large.
Is that why you had to get fat?
That's why I had to get fat. And I'm still working on the script for the Magda Szebanski story, so... it's going to be a bit of a stretch for me because I've never played a Russian before.
The federal election is on Saturday. You've thrown your support behind who? Rob Oakeshott.
Rob Oakeshott, independent for Lismore. That's my electorate. It's where I live at Nanna Glen. And Rob's a good friend, great guy, terrific orator too. Many people think that he's long-winded, but I instructed him to go long. Enjoy your voice. Say what you've got to say. Enjoy the sound of it, you know, like a father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife. And I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
It's pretty full-on for a speech.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love him to do that speech in the Parliament.
What's he got planned?
Well, what he's got planned, Nick, is a tunnel under Coffs Harbour. It's the Coffs Harbour Tunnel. And that isn't a disparaging sobriquet for a woman from Coffs Harbour. No. I won't have that. Or any type of sexism on this show.
No.
But they're going to bypass Nanna Glen, so I don't get, you know, looky-loos, having a look at what I'm doing, staring at me. And so we can maintain Coffs Harbour as a pristine, beautiful environment.
Are you actively campaigning for Rob? Will you be handing out how to vote cards?
Yes, I will. I'll be at polling booths throughout the Lismore area threatening people.
You're talking tunnelling. Can we go back? Your love life hasn't been in the mags lately. Have you been catching up with Terry Irwin?
Of course, Terry and I are very close friends, so whenever I'm in Australia, I always make myself available for Terry at Australia Zoo, or she visits me at Nanna Glen or in Sydney. And, of course, when we're together, we do role plays. We've been working on a few different ones recently.
Yeah,
I've been doing one called the NRMA Koala.
of course you have.
Yeah.
What?
Terry burns me and then feeds me water from a bottle.
That's role play.
It's method. I mean, she doesn't set fire to me. She just gives me a bit of a burn from a match or a lighter, a little second-degree burn. And then I nuzzle in and drink water like a thirsty koala. The other role play I've got going is sometimes Terry has problems with people at Australia Zoo parking illegally. Mm. And we do the fruit bat. Terry feeds me a fairly intensive fruit diet for a couple of days. Then I hang upside down from a tree and take a dump on their car.
Messy.
You do.
I can really take the Duco off too, I tell you.
Yeah, sure. Russ, before we let we go, can we just ask, we've launched a campaign for Cam Smith to make a comeback for Queensland in State of Origin. Will you sign that petition to bring Cam back for us?
Absolutely. I'm right behind the rights of old people to have an active role in the community. So I'll pay for his wheelchair or a Zimmer frame. Why do you want Cam Smith? Why wouldn't you want a Rabbitoh? I ask you that, people. It's the only way, the Rabbitoh way. Okay. Pull out your own teeth and live in a car.
Okay.
What a mantra.
Rusty Crow, what a thrill. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
You know how there's official stats like on building industry and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You know how important construction is to the Australian economy?
Yeah.
And occasionally the government go, oh, things are going great. And sometimes we go, well, you just got to look at the number of cranes. Number of cranes around Brisbane has reduced. That's certainly correct. And just technically you go, there's not as much. And we know that. There's not as many apartments needed. The price of apartments has gone down, so not as many are being built.
Yeah, there is kind of an flux of
it. They're the official stats. Over the last month or so, I've just been having chats. I'll give you the anecdotal evidence. I've got three, maybe four carpenters have said, geez, things are soft. They're really slow. I've had two builders in the last week say to me, got lots of quotes out there, but not getting any responses from anything. So you got to do, sometimes you only get one in every three quotes, maybe one in every five quotes, but they're not getting any back at the moment.
Yeah, the federal election.
Everyone,
absolutely. Normally, I mean, it's so neck and neck at the moment. When you look at the polls, no one's quite sure. And things like Labor are talking about getting rid of negative gearing with properties. Yes.
Well,
absolutely.
People aren't spending money and aren't making decisions on doing work on their houses or units or whatever.
I was talking to a real estate agent last week and they were saying exactly the same thing. Everything,
a real estate agent?
Yeah, because
sluggish.
People are really concerned about buying.
Slow, soft and sluggish is what I keep hearing. Like even Sparky, we share the same Sparky. Collie said, nah, things are a bit slow. And I'm getting that from a painter at Brett's the other day, my hardware store. The hardware people are going, oh, yeah, things are...
I knew it must have been slow because normally when I ring Cole to get electrical work, it takes weeks and weeks and weeks.
Me too.
He was there next week.
I'm out the front. I was just driving by. You're getting the feel that things are a little bit sluggish and soft at the moment in the construction industry, which is a real worry because this is one of the great drivers of the economy. And is it just the election and you reckon things will go bang after this weekend? And I wonder what the cost was of all those four short weeks in a row.
Of course, all the public holidays.
Yeah, with Easter and Anzac Day.
Oh, I can't come. And people go, well, stuff you, I won't do the work. Anyway, let's get what everyone else thinks the problem is or what's going on.
33353, Geordie of Redbank Plains. What do you reckon?
I reckon you're pretty much about 50% there, Robin, with the political climate affecting the construction industry. I work for a company called Dudley & Sons Bathroom and Kitchen Resurfacing. It's been about since the beginning of the Royal Banking Commission that it seems like people have started to get really scared about buying stuff, booking in for jobs, whether their houses are going to be worth reselling after they put 30 grand through their kitchen and bathroom.
Hey, that's interesting. You reckon everyone's pulled their horns in a bit since the Banking Commission?
Yeah, and then I think it also comes into the election because people are wondering, is this next politician going to help us with all this banking issues, or is this person going to rip each other off? You know what I mean? So I think it's a combo of the banking commission as well as the political climate at the moment. It's definitely affecting us.
I reckon people are finding it harder to get hold of money, harder to borrow money. The banks are really saying and that's why that 5% deposit you got to have might be a saviour at some stage.
But who would have thought the banking commission would impact the construction industry? But there you go. Thank you so much, Geordie. Let's chat to Shannon of Mount Ominy. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
What do you see around the place, Shannon? Are you getting the feel that things are a bit sluggish?
Yeah. Even my builder, the builder I'm working for, has been on about it as well. He's been busy, flat stick for the last 8 years. And after this job, we've got nothing else,
What do you do, Shannon?
So I'm an apprenticeshipie.
Oh, what year?
I'm first year at the moment.
Oh, it's a good life. Well, it's a tough life.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so when you hear him talking, what is he blaming, your builder?
Pardon?
What does he blame for for him being a bit sluggish?
He thinks that it has a bit to do with labour and the fact that they're planning on stamping out negative gearing and that transcribes with the banks not wanting to lend any more money. So that affects good for the union guys because they've got constant work, but for us private fellas, you know, people are tightening up the wallet. So,
So what's going to happen to you, Shannon, if he doesn't get another job?
I'm with an apprentice group, but they've also told me that there's no work going, they haven't got hosts, and to look for other work, or they might have to go into, you know, firing people.
Jesus. How does that work, though? I thought with an apprenticeship, that's one of the things you're always... With that apprentice group, do you move from company to company? You
can do.
Yeah, I go from host to host, and I'm not pointing any fingers, but they charge me out over double, and, you know, what builder wants to pay that for a first year?
Not many.
You
know?
Yeah.
Exactly right. So.
Can you hit them up by yourself, though? Is that a thing you can do?
I can, but then the builder has to pay $5,000 up front for application fees. So, you know, it's pretty topsy-turvy. Yeah. But. Okay.
Well, good luck, Shannon. We hope you keep working.
God, and that seems like both of them, the uncertainty of the election and the banks.
Lee of Browns Plains, what do you reckon about this? Is Brisbane sluggish in construction and why?
Oh, it's softer than a politician's spine, but I work in civil construction. We build pump stations for sewage and water, and we've just kicked off our first one for the year. And we're on greenfield sites, and whatever goes down the drain's got to go somewhere. So there's a lack of developable land around. You're seeing places that are 2 acres ending up with, a mountain of 400 square metre blocks put on them.
But Lee, I keep seeing development going on there, but you're on some of these big estate sites. You're saying that it's sluggish even there.
Oh, yeah. It's been very, very quiet, yeah. And, I mean, not just us, it's across the board. So, whether it is the election, I mean, it does traditionally have a bit of an effect. You know, people are waiting to see what's going to happen and that. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a while now, and I just don't think that the economy is going along as swimmingly as our politicians would have us believe. There's a real softness in the guts of the Australian economy, and it's going to hurt in the end.
Good.
Well, Lee, it's a bit scary,
doesn't
really.
Doesn't sound real good.
No, it doesn't.
If you've got a job, hang on to the bloody thing at the moment.
Thanks for your call.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Robin already knows about this house. If you just joined us, I said cheapest house in Brisbane. Nick,
what's the catch?
Yeah, really, there's a big catch.
All right, there is a big catch. It's at Birch Street, Marsden. I've got a mate lives in Birch Street, so it is. It's a simple street, but they showed the guy they've got temporary fencing all around it, so no one's allowed in there because there's been squatters in there, and there's a few problems. Would you say there's a few problems?
A fair few problems. A
couple of ringes.
Well, it's worse than that. It's like big holes in the walls and holes in the ceiling. And
I reckon holes in the walls aren't as bad as syringes on the floor. Maybe that's just me.
I thought Channel 9 did a good job with it last night on the news. They ran through it because no buyer's been allowed to have a look at it because it's in such poor condition it's actually dangerous to walk around the house.
Okay.
But everyone loves a bargain.
Yeah, sight unseen. So buying a property, sight unseen.
And I was quite appreciative of the real estate agent went through with the Channel 9 reporter and actually did a good job on the piss take. Here he goes, showing the reporter around as if he's a buyer.
Not there at all. Good opportunity to add a skylight if you see fit.
There's a hole in the ceiling.
Roof. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Skylight.
As long as you're not doing large loads of washing, I think this one will suit the new buyer, no worries at all.
This was the Hills hoist. It was just the post.
The stink.
that was it. Okay, keep going.
Artwork's already on the wall. You can choose to preserve that. Haven't confirmed it's not a bank seat. It's up to the potential buyer to do that.
Graffiti.
Correct.
We got it.
Yeah, the punch holes are quite good. Adds character.
to punch holes in character.
Yeah. Does it seem like it's been through World War II or something? Is that what they're trying to make it?
Hold on, I do like this one.
Nice double oven there, comes with a grill. Easy to see all your pots and pans too because of the lack of doors.
It may not heat or cook anything.
What do they think? It's like a wood-fired oven.
But all the cupboards have had the doors pulled off them. So that's quite clever, though. You want to be able
good
to see
use
what's
of space.
In there.
Yes. Minimalist.
Oh, what else?
3 months ago, there was flooring all through here as well. But that's gone missing.
Was flooring.
They burnt it, probably.
It's gone missing.
What are they doing? Just levitate. Just levitate in the lounge room, mate, if you want to watch the telly.
Yeah, but did you see that there's already 70 registered people?
People have looked in the last 24 hours.
Who are interested
people
are
nuts
in buying
for real estate. I
no,
don't get
but they're
it.
Nuts. There are also people who think they can do the block, too.
I know. That's made it so much worse.
I know.
So much worse.
And that is, that. I mean, says me, I'm really interested in real estate, but you're the builder. How much would that house cost to be able to renovate to live in? Like, it'd be hundreds of thousands.
Well, bulldozers are about 120 an hour, and you'd take 3 hours to knock it over.
Really? And then start again.
And then start again.
Christ. How do you How do you bulldoze no floors?
Yeah.
It's like a black hole. What do we got?
Oh, Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Well, KISS have been around for 45 years and they are doing their end of the road world tour, and it is a great pleasure to welcome to our show the one and only Paul Stanley. Hello, Paul.
How are you?
Should we fall for the end of the road, or is this just the second last tour? Is it? What guarantee have we got?
No, you know this is truly the end of the road, and so be it. You know, I have to say that if we were on stage in T-shirts and jeans and trainers, we could do this into our 90s. But we're not that kind of band. We're superheroes, you know. I would say we're Superman with a big amplifier and a guitar. And besides having a 12-pound guitar, let's say, I've got 30 or 40 pounds of gear. So it reaches a point where to be out there and doing it the way we want to do it becomes more and more impractical.
Now, I've got to ask, Paul, you're the star child. Now, did you get to make that call, and especially the design and the makeup? It seems like you got the best makeup. It's the least amount of time in the chair. You got the most simple design.
Artistic, I would say. But I think that the face designs are iconic and they suit the person wearing them.
This is going to be a very chic question, Paul, so forgive me, but KISS are kind of the rock band that allow men to see what it would be like to wear makeup every day and wear high heels. Has it actually done things to your feet and your face over the years?
I would have to say that my face might be smoother than some other part of your body.
Because you've moisturized so much?
Well, for some reason that the makeup has seemed to help my skin. My skin's really good, you know. That wasn't the reason for putting it on, but I would have to say that's been one of the benefits.
Well, let's call you. Let's compare you to another great super rock band, the Rolling Stones. Let's call you the Mick of KISS. Who would be the Keith Richards of KISS?
Oh, my gosh. Hopefully, with all respect to him, hopefully no one.
Correct answer.
You love Australia, though, don't you, as a band?
Oh, my gosh. A half hour ago, I was just telling somebody how spectacular Australia is. It's, I have not only great memories of it, but I have such anticipation to come back because it's such a glorious, you have such a glorious country, and your people are amazing, and you don't know how to make a bad Shiraz, and
Well, Paul, can you stop doing that? Because we've got immigration problems, mate. Can you stop telling people how good it is, please?
But it's my affection and my relationship with Australia is really only second to my home.
Of all the drinks you were going to say, I would have expected tequila, but I would never have expected Shiraz.
Well, you know, there's room for both.
There sure is.
Don't mix them.
No. Always important to remember. The End of the Road World Tour, it is coming to Brisbane Entertainment Centre November 28th. Your very last time to catch Kiss, tickettech.com.au for tickets. Really looking forward to the show, Paul Stanley.
Thank you so much.
You know, last week, New South Wales government have been trialling these smart drum lines right through the coast of New South Wales. They've caught a 2.5-metre tiger shark off Dee Why in the northern beaches. So I've been much more interested in shark bites and what's going on with sharks. And then last night on Nine News, this story.
A man in his 50s is recovering in hospital, bitten by what's believed to have been a shark while he was body surfing at a beach north of Bundaberg.
A lot of questions there.
Yeah, well, believed to be a shark.
No, but the body surfing at Bundaberg.
Oh, okay, I didn't pick that bit up. Why?
Well, there's no surf usually. There's one little wave.
Isn't it Bagara? It doesn't Bagara?
I don't think there's a, maybe someone will correct me, but there's not much of a wave. But there was a little 2-foot wave, wasn't there?
Really?
1-foot wave.
Yeah. And his dad was on the beach watching him. That was unusual for a 56-year-old man. Anyway, that was not the most interesting thing to me.
Really unusual. Okay. What's your dad doing? When you get to 56, will your dad be coming to the beach to
maybe,
watch you?
Maybe that's what they do together. That's their little thing. Anyway, the thing that caught my attention was not that, all of that. It was the fact that they're now not actually sure it was a shark.
It's not clear yet exactly what bit him. QAS says, based on his injuries, it was likely a shark or crocodile.
Huh. Wouldn't you know the difference?
It's like fish or chicken. doesn't it? Well, from what we also know, doesn't a croc get you? It hangs on and then does the death roll.
Yeah, goes,
and a shark goes whack, and we've spoken to experts, goes whack, goes, oh, that wasn't what I was expecting, and backs away.
I'm sure the guy that was bitten doesn't care which one. He's like, just fix me. Yeah. They're like, we've got to figure it out. Whose teeth marks are these? He's like, I am bleeding out.
It's not a snake bite. I don't need any venom. Just stitch it up.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
A really sad and tragic story on page 7 of today's Courier Mail, but I'm interested in your take on it. Remember last year there was an awful car accident on the way to Bundaberg. There was a little girl, 8-year-old girl, killed. She was driving in a car with her teacher, and I think they were going to a netball carnival.
Were her parents
remember?
Or a mum behind them?
They were a couple of K's behind. There were two girls in the car, and the teacher, the 69-year-old grandmother of one of the girls, was driving. Now, she fell asleep at the wheel, and her car veered off onto the other side of the road, hit a ute, and the 8-year-old girl and the ute driver both died. Well, it's gone to court.
Is this in the court now?
Yeah, it's all happened. And in the article it reads, the family of an 8-year-old Goldkirst girl killed in a horror crash says justice has not been served after the driver escaped jail time.
Insane.
Really? Now, this is my thing. Why do you think that's insane?
She's killed people with reckless driving.
But she
should go to jail.
But it's not like drink driving where there's an intent.
It doesn't. What do you mean?
Well,
I'm sure people that are drink driving don't want to crash into other things.
Yeah, they think they're right.
But they have.
So yeah, she's made a poor judgment.
Yeah, but hang on. If she's tired, you can't. I mean,
she fell asleep and
killed
him. Yeah.
So you think she, that
100% should be in jail?
Really? But 100%. She'll live with this for the rest of her
life.
How old is
she?
69.
Oh, God.
That's exactly right. And this was the girl's teacher. I mean,
But you get 75-year-old men who do things, you got to go to jail.
Yeah, but if you... I mean, you don't on purpose fall asleep. It's just something that
happens. Very rarely on purpose are people looking to crash a car.
A lot of people are in jail because they made poor decisions. They made poor decisions, and she's made a poor decision. Maybe she does need to go to jail.
So you think she should have pulled over and had a sleep?
Doesn't everyone know that? Has there not been enough ads about that?
I don't know.
Wasn't there a thing where she knew she was tired?
Yeah, well, it does say that she had her 45-year-old husband on the phone via Bluetooth because 45 years. Oh my God! So she was tired. She was yawning. So yeah, they do say that. And now the family of the girl are really unhappy, saying that there should be jail time attached.
They want justice. What about the family of the ute driver? His kids or whatever else, who did he have in his life?
But they won't bring them back.
Oh, no. But that's what often those things won't be brought back.
Okay, let's do this.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Nick and Mardo say if you kill someone on the roads, you should go to jail.
A lot of people in jail who you think, oh, that shouldn't be right, but they've got to do it.
Steve of Eaton's Hill, what do you think?
Yeah, g'day, guys. Look, I think it's over 25 years since he introduced Stop, Revive, Survive. And I remember even the New South Wales government sponsoring Bathurst because professional race drivers recognised they needed a break over Bathurst race. So I don't know, unfortunately, she's done the wrong thing. If she were tired, she should have stopped.
Yeah, I think that.
I think it's the age that's getting in everyone's way. But it's not just a crime. Like, people just go, oh, like a grandma. Can't put a grandma in jail.
I guess it's just that in my mind, I think of all those people that, like, drink drive or drug drive, and but you're saying that it's still a choice to whether
she made a choice. She called her husband to say, I'm tired. Mm-mm. Get off the road. On the phone while tired. Double crime.
Tracy from Chermside, which side of the coin are you?
She should have gone to jail. She's basically drove tired, so she should have pulled over. She knows better. She's old enough. And now two innocent families have lost loved ones. No, do the time. Do the crime. Do the time. Sorry.
No, don't apologise, Tracy.
Do the time twice there. She has done the time, 69 years on this planet. Now she's done a crime. Now she's going to do the time.
Chris of Logan, what do you think about this? Nick reckons if you kill someone on the road, you should go to jail regardless.
Well, I drive a heavy vehicle, and I tell you what, anything that goes wrong, the cop wants to lock us up before they ask us questions. I had a guy hit me about 7 years ago. I was stopped on the side of the road, but because I was in a road train, I could kill him. And because I was in a road train, the cop wanted to lock me up first before he even wanted to ask questions.
What are you saying that you were parked in the wrong place or something?
No. I realised he'd gone to sleep. I was watching him wait as he was coming down the road. So I stopped. I pulled over on the left-hand side of the road, and he hit the second trailer so hard that it tore the top of the car off.
Oh, Jesus.
And you watched all that. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful thing, driving a heavy vehicle. It really is.
And you are so true. If a 69-year-old truck driver did something wrong, he'd be in jail, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. They wouldn't even ask a question, mate. Yeah. They'd have you locked up before they even have a chance to.
I honestly think people are just getting wrapped up on the term grandmother. Take grandma out of it.
No, jail. No. For me, and it's not the grandma. It's just the fact that
I'm not saying 20
awful.
Years or anything.
So
well, I can't. I'm not a judge.
What would you say? What is a fair thing?
I'd do something.
6 months?
6 months, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well,
95% of people agree with you, Nick. If you do kill someone on the road, you should go to jail. It's that simple.
I know.
It is. And the judge is not going to change its mind, but there you go.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
My God, what a day I had yesterday. My wife and baby are up visiting me for a little bit, which is very nice, and I've had to pick them up from the airport. Now, when I get to the airport, I can get from the plane to wherever I'm going, door to door, within 25 minutes, half an hour. I've just got carry on, bang, I'm in the place. Their flight landed yesterday at 4 p.m., so I got to the airport at 3:30. We had to figure out some hire car stuff, so I went there a little bit early, waited for them, met them at the gate. At 10 past 4 p.m., my place is in the city. Where do you think, what time do you think we got to our accom?
Okay, how old's your baby?
My baby's 7 months old.
Let me guess. Portable cot?
Portable cot.
Like a car seat?
No, I didn't bring the car seat.
Okay.
We've stuffed that up. We got a car seat that's permanently hooked in. Like a bunch of idiots.
What, in the rental car?
So we had to hire a...
Okay.
You have to hire a baby seat.
Because I'm guessing there's like the bag you have with your clothes, then there's 400 bags that go with a young child.
Again,
you wouldn't bring this up if it was easy. So I'm going with 6 p.m.
6 p.m. So they landed at 10 past four.
Yeah,
they
2 hours.
6 p.m.
No, I'd go 5:30. I think Leach is all over this. Your wife.
20-8 last night.
No. What?
All right. Let's break it down in a half hour bracket.
First of all, they get off. I'm super excited to see him, have a laugh, chat at the gate, whatever. Then my wife, she just needs a coffee. She needs one. She's not getting out of the place. She's like, I have been holding on to this little wriggly nugget for the last 2.5
for a
hours.
Coffee?
Yep. She wanted one there and she wanted to sit down and drink it.
Yeah, and so she wanted you to hold the baby.
Yeah, that's when I know somebody is at the end of their when they're looking to get food and beverages at the airport they've arrived in.
Wow.
Now, let's just sit and dine in, thanks.
I've never seen anyone do that. Like, you get off the plane and you go to Hungry Jack's at the airport.
We didn't even get out. Like, we didn't get to the baggage area yet. We're still in the...
So you didn't go to the coffee club out the front of the...
Nah. Our bags were the last ones just doing laps.
Oh my God. You didn't even go downstairs and pick up your baggage.
No.
Do you get edgy when that happens?
I know
you've been
edgy.
In Sydney doing comedy.
Because I've I fly all the time. Mm. I've got very slick airport protocol. Let's go, bang. Let's get to a place. Bang, let's move. And a baby is forcing me to confront those fears every single day.
What an anchor.
And a cranky wife who you're never going to say no to.
Righto. But good news, though, my apartment here is one bedroom. And so instead of getting a sleeper, I had the baby cot set up next to the side of my bed last night. And
keeps the family close.
It is. The family is very close, except he's gotten too big for his cot. So now he stretches out in the night, hits his hand on the side and wakes up.
Mm. Oh, Nick.
And so the good news was most people only get to go to sleep once a night. Like idiots. Yeah. I got to go to sleep 15 times last night. What a lucky boy.
I can't quite believe this because it's only May, but this was the lead story on Nine News last night.
Queensland has been ravaged by a flu outbreak with the number of deaths jumping by 56% and those infected tripling. Doctors have blamed an influx of tourists for bringing a strain of flu not normally seen in Australia.
But don't we have tourists all the time? And why now are they bringing the flu? Well, we have someone who hopefully can answer some of those questions, and that is Dr. Brad. Hello, Brad.
Hi, guys. It's been a very, very strange flu season so far.
Do you see those stats? Because all of us were going, I don't know anyone in my life that has had the flu yet. Do you reckon they make them up sometimes?
I wish. Normally a really quiet time of the year between sort of March, April, May. And we've just seen a massive rise, even like five or six times the number of cases compared to normal. So far in Queensland, we've already had about 25 deaths. And this is recorded deaths. So we know that that it's been attributed to influenza. So there are so many other deaths that happen and so many other infections that aren't recorded with the statistics.
Dr. Brad, now, Robin, that's what Robin was concerned about. She said, but Marto, all these people are dying. And I sort of said, a lot of them are people with something existing and they just fall off the perch or oldies.
Well, what we do find is that 90% of the people that die from influenza or have a terrible time with it are over the age of 65, and that's why we have a stronger vaccine for patients over the age of 65. 10% of the people that die are young kids. So this is kids under the age of 5. And in most states around Australia, including Queensland, it's free to get the flu vaccine if your child is over the age of 6 months. And under the age of 5 years. But then each flu season is a little bit different. And we do see that there are people who are in their 30s or 40s or even younger who do get affected with influenza. And we've had one otherwise healthy 15-year-old who died in South Australia recently as well from influenza. And we do have, like, people, you'd never talk about it, but there are people in intensive care all over the country who are sort of in their 30s or 40s on life support at the moment from influenza, but we don't talk about them, but they're certainly out there.
So, okay, apart from the flu vaccine, is there anything we can do to prevent getting the flu?
Yeah, well, you're wanting to get the flu vaccine sooner rather than later. So we haven't really kicked off with the major flu season. That will happen in about June. So we are expecting the number of cases to escalate quite quickly from there. But other than that, it's washing your hands as much as you can. Soap and water is the best thing to wash your hands with. But if you don't have that, then the alcohol like gel option is great. If you're taking public transport and if you're holding on to those gooey handles, you're washing your hands after that. And if you're sick, like, stay home. Like, don't go to work if you're a snot machine.
You know, a lot of the Asian tourists that come here will wear the face mask, or they do it over in Asia as well. Why have we never adopted that? And should we be wearing those little masks?
Because they're really daggy.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, we'll get a Gucci one.
Yeah, you want a Gucci face mask?
Cultural thing, yeah. But they don't really work all that much for influenza, so they may work for a little bit of time. But after you've been using them for about 10 minutes, the mask just gets saturated with the moisture from your breath, and then they don't work very effectively from there. So unless you're wearing a proper gas mask, you probably freak people out on the mask.
Well, thank you for the tips, Dr. Brad McKay. You might remember him from Embarrassing Bodies Down Under 2, and you can see some of his work, drbradmckay.com.au. Thanks for your time today, Doctor.
No worries. Cheers, guys. It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? Subscribe.
Tune in tomorrow and catch the show. Triple M.